this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Holy households. Well, you got a house, haven't you? Hopefully you live in a house. And God is the holy, so you want to have God in your household. If you think you have to be perfect, well, you got it wrong. God is perfect. You're not. Just connect yourself to him and you'll be right. It'll be good. But yeah, we're doing our series on holy households, and today we're going to look at work and finances, because if you have a household, you're probably going to need to work to pay for it, and hopefully you work and get paid. And having a holy household means that we operate in God's ways. We don't just do it our way, we do it his way. And here we've just heard about tithes and offerings, and that's one of our focuses, because when you read through the Bible and you see how people have their relationship with God, there's always offerings and there's tithing. And there's consequences to that. And so when we work, we want to display God's character. And so we are honorable and we are good stewards in our work and in our responsibility to what our job requires, that we display Christ. So we have God in our house. We have God when we're at work. It's very important that you have God when you're at work, and that those characteristics of being honourable and being a good steward are coming out and are displayed for other people. And there's great reward for being honourable, great reward for being honourable. And so the deeper foundation that is underneath all of this, underneath honour and stewardship, is the fear of God. And I remember coming to Christ many years ago and just being sort of, you know, struck by this understanding that had now come to me, that Jesus actually died on the cross for my place. I was like, what? For me? How could he? I'm not worth that. And he was like, yes, you are, and I have taken your sin. And I was like, well, I'm in. I'll tithe. I heard about tithes. Well, that's a great idea, because you died on the cross and I am revering what you have done for me. And then you get to understand that God is quite large. He's really, really big, and he sort of has the whole universe to manage, and he has an accountability for your life, for every word that you speak and for how you spend your time and for what you do. And one day it'll just be you and him, and you're going to stand before him and he's going to be looking at the records going, wow, all I can see is the blood of Christ and Jesus and all this good. Because you're good and I love you and you responded and you're good and you walked in my grace and I love you. So come in. Well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that right? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. You don't want to get up there and be like, oh, you're done. Terrifying, literally. Absolutely terrifying. So there's a bit of reverence involved with that. And when you think about your life and you add it up, you have some reverence and a foundation underneath. And so that causes you to stand on, well, I need to be honorable here. I need to work well. I need to be a good steward of what he's given me. If you read through some of the parables of Christ, he's always often referring to display the kingdom of God. He says something about work and finances. That's what he often displays in his parables. There was a landowner who went out early and he hired workers for his vineyard. There was one of these always talking about something with someone who's doing some work and someone who's getting some finances, and you're going to need finances. You're going to need them, because when you get home, you're going to have to pay some bills. You're going to have to pay a few bills. Keelan and Chloe, you're just starting out. You're learning about bills. About bills, and you get home, and you think, well, I just got to pay the rent, or maybe you got to pay the mortgage, we want to honour our electricity bill so they don't turn it off. And maybe you get a problem with your electricity, so then you got to get a plumber out and you got to pay him to fix it, and then you got to get your water and you got to pay for your water. And if there's a problem with that, you got to pay the plumber to come out and he's got to fix that, so you got to pay him. And so then there's another bill with that, and then you go on to council rates, and then you go on to school fees, and you might have childcare fees, kindy fees, and you got to buy food, and you got to buy clothes and shoes. And then if kids play sport, you got to get sports shoes and boots and soccer boots and shin pads, elbow guards, and all kinds of things for your children. They need hats and all kinds of things. You're going to run a car, well, you're going to have to put fuel in it. You're going to put fuel in it. You're going to have to take and get some oil. And if he doesn't have that oil, you're going to take to the mechanic and he's going to fix it and you're going to pay him. And what you're going to have to do is they're going to ask for you to rego the thing and you're going to have to go get a pink slip and a blue slip and a green slip and whatever coloured slip you get to insurance and you're going to get your insurance. And you're going to pay for that. And you're going to drive the thing and get new tyres and you've got to pay for those. Oh, wow, you're just going to have a car. Why don't you have two cars? Because there's two of you and you've got children. One's got to go to that end of the Central Coast of Sport and you've got to drive the other one to Sport. That's why we play netball. Because you just go to Adcock Park and that's where the game is. And you just drive home. And that's where I am all day on Saturday. Because it starts at 8 and it ends at 3, I think, or 4. Because Nina plays at 8 and it goes to Grace. And And you've got to pay for that too. You've got to pay for the fees to play and... Netball is much cheaper than football. Sorry, you had boys. Well, those boys' teams in netball, if you want to get a cheap deal. But then you've got to play for rugby and soccer because they want to do both. And your boys need to do both because they've got so much energy. That's right. Wow. And so, you know, well, you get a house, you've got to insure it. You've got to pay some insurance. If you want to mow the lawn, you've got to buy a lawn mower or you pay Adam to come and mow your lawn. And then you want to have... Like the kids have presents because they have birthdays. You've got to buy presents. But then they go to birthday parties. So then you buy other children presents. And then there's 30 children in the class that all have a birthday that year. And you pay all the presents. So you spend hundreds of dollars on presents. So you're going to need to work. You're going to need to work really, really well to have four girls and send them to birthday parties. And they all went to the dentist the other day. I went to the dentist, and then you got to take them to the doctor every now and then, and then you got to pay for dancing cars. It just goes on and on and on. You're going to need to work well and be smart with your finances. That's right, and that's why here, and for me personally, I really need God's help all the time. All the time, because you start adding all that up, and you come out with a figure. And if you divide that figure by ever, however many weeks in the year there are, you have to ask Sarah for that. And then you come out how much it costs you to live each week. So that's what we do. Well, I don't do that. She does that and she tells me how much it is and then I go to work. And then I come and the money comes and then we pay for things. And you don't want to live your life on credit. You need to know how much that is. And it's a lot. It doesn't start out that much, Keelan. So fortunately, you grow into it. It takes time. So just wait for the children. Just wait. Wait till next year, or you get a promotion, or you sell something. I don't know. It's waiting. Holy households, work and finances. You're going to need to be honourable. You're going to need to be a good steward to do well. And, you know, it's all part of God's plan. There's always been work. It's not like we arrived now and things got really busy. He knew it was going to happen, and it's always been happening. And he started working, and Jesus said, my Father is always working, and I too am working. That's what he said. So he's a worker. So work is good, isn't it? You like to enjoy your job. I like to enjoy working. I love working most of the time. Most of the time. I like working. But I tell my staff, look, work is not holidays. Some days you're not going to feel like getting out of bed, but do it anyway because it's good for you. Do it anyway. Enjoy your holiday, but come to work and work well. And... the foundation of good work is that deeper foundation of honour and stewardship, which is, sits on the concrete foundation of reverence for God. It's important that we have that reverence for God. And I want to talk to you about a guy who had a great friendship with God, and his name was Abraham. And Abraham had a friendship with God. That's what he was known for. And he had a friendship with God because he trusted what God said. God said to him, go to a place which I will show you. Didn't even tell him where he was going. He was like, say, let's go to Terrigal, or let's go to Melbourne, or let's go to Darwin or something. He was like, go to a place that I will show you. Okay, so he left and he went and he did what God said and he developed a trust and a friendship with God. He believed what God said, and when he got old, he asked for a son. He sort of, you know, put it out there. He was 80 and God said to him, I will give you a son. Go outside, count the stars. So shall your offspring be. This was part of his relationship. And he got older, he got wealthier, and his wife passed away. And when he got really old, he got his trusted servant, Eliza, to get Isaac a wife. And so he asked Eliza, go and get me a wife from my home country, from my father's household. And he said, what if they don't want to come? And should I get him a wife from here? Don't get a wife from amongst the Canaanite women, okay? Because that would have led him into idol worship and away from the promise of God. So go back and get a wife. And so he takes on, he makes an oath with this trusted servant, Eliza. And Eliza takes on his oath. And I want to notice a couple of things about Eliza, that he's a really good steward. And he invites God into what he's doing. And so we pick it up in Genesis 24, when he's traveled this journey. Now, he goes to a journey. The place is called Aram Naharaim. Don't you love a good Bible name? Tells him to go back to his home country, Aram Naharaim. Just like to say that, Aram Naharaim. Sounds strong, doesn't it? They go back all the way. It's a 1,000-kilometre journey. This is not a small thing. This is like the most important job this chief servant, Eliza, has ever taken on for his master. And he travels with, he gets 10 camels, wrong animal. He gets 10 camels and he travels 1,000 kilometres. He takes men and he takes jewels and fine clothes and obviously a lot of food, and he travels this journey. And he gets to a well. Everyone's thirsty. The camels are thirsty. He's thirsty. I'm thirsty. That's a segue into a water break there. So they get to the well. They're doing well. They've got there. Would have been a dangerous trip in those days. Camels going that far. And so he prays this prayer. Genesis 24, verse 12. He prayed, O God, God of my master Abraham, make things go smoothly this day. Treat my master Abraham well as I stand here by the spring while the young women of the town come out to get water. Let the girl to whom I say, lower your jug and give me a drink, and who answers, drink, and let me also water your camels, let her be the woman you have picked out for your servant Isaac. Then I'll know that you're working graciously behind the scenes for my master. So great that God works often in our lives behind the scenes. We're not even aware of what he's doing half the time. He's setting things up. He's opening doors. He's orchestrating things for you to be blessed so that you will know him. Not so that you'll be blessed, so that you'll know him. You'll be blessed to know him. And so Eliza here is just a great steward. He knows his master's business. He knows all the sheep he has. He knows everything. So he chooses his best servant, his oldest servant, to take on the most valuable job. And he does it really, really well. And he includes God in this task. He just simply prays the prayer. You ever pray a prayer in your workplace? Do you ever just get there and pray over your classroom or over your job site? Or like, I often come into spaces and I'll have to walk through a playground and I will pray through as I walk and talk to the client. I'll just pray through. God, I need vision here because I can't see how you can possibly fit a playground in this space. Well, literally, you should see some of them. They build childcare centres underneath buildings and in buildings and all over the place in Sydney. It's amazing where they put them. He invites God in and prays this prayer to invite the power of God into his agreement that he has with Abraham so that he will have success in his task, so he will have success in what he does. And so let's pick it up in verse 15. And it says, and so it happened that the words were barely out of his mouth when Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, whose mother was Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, there's a lot of people involved, came out with the water jug on her shoulder. The girl was stunningly beautiful, a pure virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came back. The servant ran to meet her and said, please, can I have a sip of water from your jug? She said, certainly drink. And she held the jug so that he could drink. And when he had satisfied his thirst, she said, I'll get water for your camels too, until they've drunk their fill. She promptly emptied her jug into the trough and ran back to the well to fill it. And she kept at it until she had watered all the camels. The man watched silent. Was this God's answer? Has God made his trip a success or not? When the camels had finished drinking, the man brought out gifts, a gold nose ring weighing a little over a quarter of an ounce, and two arm bracelets weighing 4 ounces, and gave them to her. He asked her, tell me about your family. Whose daughter are you? Is there room in your father's house for us to stay the night? So she gets the gold. That nose ring is worth over $1,000 in today's gold price, and let alone the craft that's within it. And the bracelets, they're like over $21,000 worth of gold just in the bracelets alone that he put on her arm. Pretty good deal just for offering a drink. She would just doing a thing, just, I'm just going to get the water. just coming back with the water here, but there's some aspects of her that's opened this doorway, and there's four aspects of honor I just want to look at for holiness in your work, in your work. And the first thing is that Rebecca is just simply honorable. She is an honorable person, and you can tell that because she receives his request. Yes, drink. Another version says, drink, my Lord. She says, certainly have a drink. Drink, my Lord. It's so important that you receive what is coming to you in your work environment with an open heart and an open, yes, let's get it done. Let's get it done. And then she steps into then some. Let's get it done. When Jesus wasn't honored in his hometown, oh, who is this guy? Isn't this Jesus, the carpenter's son? They spoke negatively about him. And because he was there, he could still do some little miracles because it was Jesus, but he couldn't do all the miracles that he'd been doing everywhere because they didn't receive him. They didn't receive him. And there was an anointing on you when you receive what is asked of you, when it's just simply, just a simple task. Just, yep, have a drink. Yes, certainly, I will do it. Yes, and so many people these days have their walls up. Oh, I don't do that. I don't do it. So many people just, I'll do whatever. Jesus died on the cross. I'll mow the lawn. I'll wash whatever. I'll do whatever. Literally, whatever it takes. I'll do whatever. And she just receives and steps in. I asked this young guy at work. And then my supervisor kept saying to me, you've got to talk to him. And every time we asked him to do something, he's like, it's like we're laboring. Like, fill the wheelbarrow, mate. Like, honestly, do it with a smile. Who cares? It's like we were asking him too much. I had to pull him aside and say, mate, stop huffing. All right, we're enjoying our work here. Just push it, buddy. Honestly. She receives what he asks. And she is honorable. She has honor in her heart. The second thing is she offers generously to go above and beyond what was expected. Abundantly above the expectation. She has the heart of a giver. Her eyes are up. She's seeing what's happening around the place. It's frustrating for me. I mean, I have grace for young guys up until they're about 25 because I just remember what I was like. And then I remember that they're still building a brain. And so you have to tell them all the time. So you have to tell them. But her eyes are up. She can see, oh, he's not only thirsty, they're thirsty as well. And there was men over there as well. Her men, his men. And so she waters all the cows because her eyes are up. She can see what's going on and she's got the heart of a giver. She's willing to give abundantly beyond. This is the reflection of Christ. God is doing exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. But that scripture is also for you to do something more than what you would normally do so that he can be involved in it. And so she has the heart of a giver. The third thing I noticed here is that Rebecca's actions demonstrate her willingness to serve and her industrious nature. She rolls the sleeve up, she gets in the order, she gets her hands dirty. You know, she's getting into it. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says this. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's one of the keys to success. You want to have a real good go and be good and be really good at what you do. Now, there's 10 camels. They've traveled over 1,000 kilometers with packs, with men. They can drink like 100 litres. 100 litres up to, like, and I'm sure they probably drank more that day because they travelled so far. And so that's like, if she's carrying 20 litres, that's heavy. Like, and it says a jar, so I'm not sure how big her jar was, but a 20 litre bucket of water is really heavy. And if she does that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like, that's 50 trips. 50. That's hard work. That's a lot of water. And how far was it anyway? Between the trough and the well. Hopefully not too far. Hopefully sort of here to there, like boom, 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 boom. She is going hard. And a lot of people, I don't water camels. They smell. I don't do that. I don't water camels. I'll do one camel. I'll just do a little bit. You get the rest. It's an attitude. It's a heart reflection. I had a guy work for me being a painter. Now, nothing against painters. But I don't think this guy done any labouring, although he was enthusiastic when he first came. But then he said he'd been filling up a few wheelbarrows He's like, once I've done some of the harder work, can I do some of the easier work, like what they're doing, raking out all this crusher dust material, which actually takes a little bit of technical eye for detail because you've got to make it fall to the drain. And I'm just taken back. I'm like, no, push wheelbarrows. That's where you start. That's where we break you in. That's how we do this. And then one of the other guys said to me later on, when one of the supervisors asked him to take out rubbish, and he had to take, and we had a pile of rubbish the big of this stage, which was just all off cuts and stuff, and he had to drag him up the hill. And he's like, "Who usually takes out the rubbish? Like, this is just a hard job. Like, who?" And it wasn't even that heavy. And my cousin, who is very loyal and faithful, who works for me, he just laughed and he said, "Mate, we all take out the rubbish. We all do it. Now, I'm always cleaning up the job site. That's what I do." So, So water the camels. Like, do something extra. Have a great attitude. I'll do it. Yes. Would you like water for your camels? Where's your boundary of no? Like, maybe some things you do have to have a strong no for, but when you're pushing wheelbarrows, yep, I'm doing it. People want the bracelets and the earrings and gold before they roll their sleeves up. Hey, roll your sleeves up at some point. All right, Rebecca's running. This is sort of the fourth thing about her honourable work. Rebecca's running indicates her enthusiasm and her commitment to the task. She doesn't just walk to the well, kick her toes, don't you? Oh, I can't stand it when guys kick their boots around the job site and they just walk slowly. They're just like, "I'm going to get this wheelbarrow and get this crush of dust." And I had one guy and he was hiding on the job site. And then I had another guy, he was hiding in the truck with his phone, just on his phone. And Frosty caught him. Oh, mate, he copped it. Anthony used to work for me many years ago, that guy. Oh, the guy hiding his phone. He got sacked. He didn't get sacked for hiding on his phone, but it's just what's in his heart came out. But her enthusiasm and her commitment to the task, her eagerness and her diligence. Let's have a look at Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. What a great scripture. Hey, hope you're all feeling encouraged to go to work tomorrow. We're going to get into that thing. We're going to make it happen. We're going to teach those kids. We're going to, woo, yeah. It's going to be a great day at work tomorrow for everyone here. You beauty. So be enthusiastic with stewarding what's in front of you. Sometimes you've got to do the apprenticeship when you're young. Some of you are starting out, some of you are finishing, or you're finished. There's still honour available. Still something to put your heart into if you're at the end. But if you're at the start, you've got to do a bit of extra time. And people want the gold before they do the hard work. I have a friend, and he has a friend called Skipper. And Skipper has a boat, and he drives it down the Edelong. And I've been down there a few times, been on his boat. And he has a son who got an apprenticeship. And I was down there one day, I said, "Oh, how's Skipper going?" And he was venting. And my mate was laughing because Skipper had been venting to him about his son who got this apprenticeship. And he left the apprenticeship to go and sell vapes because he could make more money selling vapes for the quick dollar. And we laughed. It's like, poor Skipper, he wasn't happy about his son who was looking for a quick dollar. He wanted the gold before he wanted to roll his sleeves up. You're going to have to roll your sleeves up at some point. And this is God's will. This is what honour does. It considers others. It esteems others higher. It esteems what you're doing. And God values your work and he values you bringing him into that place and having a heart that is honourable. And so in Genesis 24, in chapter 24, verse 53, she gets the gold. The servant brought out gold, silver and gold, jewelry and clothing, and presented them to Rebecca. He also gave expensive presents to her brother and mother. Then they ate their meal, and the servant and the men with him stayed there overnight. And then the servant finishes his job. He takes her all the way back, and she enters the household of the lineage of Jesus. And a rich and wealthy household that she enters into with Abraham and Isaac and all And yeah, and so I want to talk to someone here in this church this morning who gets the gold. And that person is John McDonald. Give him a clap. John, I've just been a great admirer of John's over the years and was privileged to be in youth ministry with these guys and be their pastor for a little while. And John is a great encourager of people. He often sends little encouraging text messages and a great guy. And so they bought a unit years ago. And I say he gets the gold because he's got three fantastic boys who are always running around the courtyard banging into things. And a lovely wife, beautiful wife, Janelle, who is one of the pillars of our church now. And so they met in the youth ministry, got married, and bought a townhouse. They bought a townhouse off the back of some really good advice. So tell us about your first step in your investment there.
Yeah, that was Pastor Chris back in
2012.
Yeah, that was Pastor Chris back in September 2012.
So Chris encouraged you to invest in this townhouse.
Yeah, that's right. We had encouragement from other people as well. But Chris was what really got Jamil and I over the line in purchasing the unit.
Purchased the unit. What I really admire about these guys, they're just faithful people, been in the house all these years. And have these foundations. Obviously, you see Janelle this morning sharing over tithes and offerings. They're generous people. So they bought this townhouse and then they sold that and they bought a house just up the road here. And at the same time, John really felt an unction from the Holy Spirit to tell us about your purchase of the property, the land.
Yeah, so I think it was April 2018 and I remember where I was. I was in North Sydney in the office. And it just popped into my head, I should buy some land.
There you go. Just had a thought, just like that. Popped into his head. Yep. That's what the Holy Spirit does sometimes.
Yeah.
Pops things in your head.
Yeah, definitely felt it from the Holy Spirit.
And so you prayed over that and you got some agreement?
Yes. I didn't just go and buy land and tell Janelle later. I asked Janelle and then I asked Pastor Chris and Ruth. I still remember they were on the car phone. And we asked them and they thought it was a really good idea. And then there were a couple of elders in the church at the time who we asked as well. And Tim was very excited as well. So that was good. And so we bought some land.
So this land was up near Tamworth?
Yeah, up near Tamworth. It was real cheap, real cheap.
But it was sort of out, it wasn't in a very, like it was sort of out, so outskirts of Tamworth?
Yeah, I'd never been to this town before. I know Tamworth pretty well, but I'd never been to this particular town.
Yeah.
And I remember how easy it was to buy the land. There was a person at the bank who generally said no to most things that I asked. But when I told her I wanted to buy land, she got very excited. And she said, oh, you can even have it at a lower interest rate. And so it really didn't add much to the mortgage at all. I was like, cool. So, it really didn't cost us too much either. It was great, really cheap.
And great.
We both felt it was from the Lord. We had a few people who wondered why we bought land, but we felt it was from God and we had some wise counsel around that as well.
Yeah, great. Because, I mean, most people would go for another investment, look for a land with a house on it. So it can seem a little... I remember thinking, it doesn't have a house, but, you know, it's from God, so I'm sure it'll grow in time. And so it grew, and you've sold it.
Yeah, so there were times when I wondered why I bought the land.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd drive up there, and I'd look at the land, and I'd go, this is good land.
You'd throw a few rocks around the place? You ever chop a tree down?
No, we never chopped a tree down, but we did look at the place. You know, I love the country. I love driving in the country. So,
so you arrived there and we're like, land. Yeah. We have landed.
Yes. And then I thought maybe I could buy, you know, more land. But I didn't, because that wasn't really a God thing. But so I had this land, and then the real estate agent called me a couple of years ago, very excited because he had a buyer. And while that one fell through, the idea of putting it on the market came from that. And so we prayed about that. And a couple of years did go by, and we really had to really dig into faith, patience, and perseverance.
Yeah, right.
And I was inspired by a few people. I was inspired by Phil Pringle. He's an amazing man of faith.
He is, yeah. Yes.
And I know you've been inspired by him with the faith as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And of course, we know Byron's an amazing man of faith. I mean, a lot of the reason why we're here is because of your faith. So
I'm not sure about that, but I think God's got more of a play in that. But what I do like about these guys is they listened to God, and they were willing to just listen and tune into what God, and not just go out on their own, but to get agreement and purchase and make a couple of purchases. And then they've kept this land, was that 13 years now?
No, seven.
I thought you said 22. Oh, that was your other property. So 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's really increased in value, and you've sold it.
Yeah, it was really cool because we sold it for almost three times as much as we bought it for. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What a great thought to have pop in your head.
Yeah.
And now they're renovating their home because their boys are getting bigger and they're going to need more space. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Because so you got to fit that all that extra stuff that they're going to need. Yeah. They're going to need bigger footy boots.
So I'm very thankful to God for that. Thought that I feel that he popped into my head 7 years ago, because then from that we're now able to renovate the bathroom and put two bedrooms on the back, and it's really good. So really and
awesome. Yeah. So there's the guy that gets the gold, because he listened to God. He's a humble approach, always in church, tithes, offerings. He just laid his life down, and I just think you guys are awesome, and glory to God for that chapter of following Jesus and being led into providing for your family and paying all those bills and just taking steps forward. That's God's grace to you. That's your experience with him, and you know him all the more because of that decision. And what a great thing it is just to follow Christ and let him lead you in this way, because it matters to him and it matters to you. And what a blessing. Okay, can I have the band come up, please? Thank you, John. Give him a clap. Let's stand up. Well, God bless you in your faith today and in your work tomorrow. And I would love to pray for you if you're having difficulty at work, you're not sure of a decision of your career, you need a job. I believe God provides jobs. I often ask for work. I do. I find myself working in Sydney a lot, and I'm like, hang on a minute, God, can I have a local job? And I often find that he gives me local work. So ask for things. And so I'd love to pray for you if you have a sort of a hole and you need to have a need. And I'd like to agree with you and see you take steps of faith, just like what John and Janelle have done, or in your career. It matters to him. So God bless you today. May you have faith in your work and God in your house, God in your work, and be a great steward, be honourable in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Jesus.